As you can probably tell from the lively discussion here, it is 12:30 here at KPTZ, and time for our weekly Bureaucracy Now, our opportunity to meet and talk with city government. John Morrow, my co-host, is on vacation, but Taylor Clark, I am continuing on as his co-host without him. He has put together a great lineup, and this week I'm really excited to welcome Connie Anderson, who is the Director of Finance and Technology for the City of Port Townsend. Hi, Connie.
Hello.
A little closer, yeah.
Hello, good to see you.
Yeah, and nice to meet you. This is our first meeting, and I'm also here in the studio is Monica McHager, who is Port Townsend City Council person and the chair of the Finance and Budget Committee. Monica and I have met before.
Okay, I'm just going to get it over with because people know us in this town. So if you know us, we are boyfriend and girlfriend. Hi, babe. Now I'm going to put on my work hat.
Good, because I have my work hat on and I can't afford to get, you know, emotional.
You do.
Well, I will get emotional.
You will.
Yeah, we could discuss bank capacity and I get emotional. But
We're not
going to discuss.
Aren't we going to discuss more current stuff?
All right. So the first thing I wanted to do is I wanted to talk about the Port Townsend City Council has within it three standing committees. Do I have that right?
Subcommittees.
Subcommittees. Standing subcommittees.
Yes.
And there's three city council people on each subcommittee.
Yes.
There is infrastructure and development, culture and society, and finance and budget.
Yes.
And you are the chair of finance and budget. Who's
yes.
on it with you?
Libby is on it with me, and
Libby Wenstrom.
Amy Howard. Wow, and I went brain dead. Amy's on it. Amy's been on it for I think most of her. She's finishing her second term, and she's the one that's been on it the longest.
And what is the function of that that subcommittee?
Well, I'm going to say real quick, but I'm hoping Connie does a bigger in-depth. From my point of view, and what's really important is the most important job council people do, I believe, is our budget.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to do a new budget every year,
and it
ends up being a very thick document.
And is the budget hammered out within the subcommittee?
It is. Staff, of course, does the major work, but this gives them a chance to bring it through on a monthly basis. We meet once a month. Capital Projects comes through for a review of our 6-year, things like that. But Connie, what else do we do?
So I What else do you do?
Finance and Budget Committee is, in general, it's that opportunity for staff to meet with a subcommittee of the city council and go over kind of the nuts and bolts of what's going on behind the big numbers. So if there's things that need to be discussed or different things coming together, then that's the committee where we go and we talk about it. We go and we dig into things a little bit deeper and how can we move forward, or what's a good approach with this thing, or what do you think is good for the community, and how we move forward.
So it sounds like there's two functions. There's the process of creating the budget, but there's also, it sounds like maybe where you are now is in the sort of the regular review of the budget, and this gives a chance for staff to meet with council, because council sets policy but does not, but you can then review with council, hey, are we on the right track? Are we doing the right thing?
Exactly. So the committee goes over lots of different budget pieces. If we want to propose new budget, policies and things that we want to maybe initiate or refine in some way, we'll discuss those best options and how they think. What their feelings are on best way to move forward with the policies. We bring ideas, and it's kind of a group idea time to think about what's good approach on how to solve problems. And of course, finance and budget, it's all related to the current financials and how we might move forward long term. So That's a lot of it.
That was good. That's what we do. And of course, all committees, I always say, is kind of like Crash dummies, the old commercials with the car that hits the wall.
Oh, right.
Crash dummies. So it's a great place for our smart staff to come if they want to change something. And so they can present it as, to us as three council members and see, does someone's head pop off? Does someone's arm go sideways?
If, for instance, the city was considering opening a hot dog stand,
exactly.
They could say, hey, council, does this
what
make
do
sense?
Think?
And council might go, you know, maybe our business ought not to be hot dogs.
Hot dogs, yeah. And, of course, everything always goes up from all three subcommittees for a full vote if it's a policy change or anything to be enacted by to do with the budget.
Does it come with a recommendation?
Yes.
Is that typically a unanimous recommendation or,
no.
or sometimes dissenting opinion?
Sure.
Okay. Connie, you're relatively new with the city, right?
That's correct. My anniversary date with the city will be March 16.
Oh.
So not even quite a year yet.
We'll have to get her balloons.
As a matter of fact, my initiation last year, starting the very first day I was here, we had a finance and budget committee meeting, and I got to attend that and get introduced on my very first day.
Well, that's
thrown into the deep end right away.
I would say, yes, and here's our city council. Right.
Right, and she's our fearless financial leader, so it was her first day.
Yeah. Now, where are we right now in the budgeting cycle? Where the budget has it's at this point it's created and out there, right?
Right. So, every year the budget has to be adopted before December 31 so that mm-hmm. we have authority to spend money come January 1st.
Oh, so it's not fiscal year and calendar year aligned in the city budgeting.
That's correct.
Okay.
So before, in my humble opinion, before council gets to take a Christmas break or a holiday break, they have to adopt a budget for us. So that's just my humble opinion. But
mine too.
Right. But we don't just start doing that December.
No.
Now, this is apparently, we're sort of running under a new process now.
Yes.
Correct? I spent a little time, I read the first six pages of the budget. By the way, for anybody who wants to read the city budget, it is available at cityofpt.us under the departments, finance, and I think it's documents.
Financial documents.
Documents. It's about halfway down in the left nav. Mm-hmm. And all the budgets are, for many years back, are there.
Sounds like it's three clicks.
It's three. There are three clicks between anyone and reading the city budget. So it ought not to be a mystery.
And be curious and brave, anyone listening. Go ahead and do it. And there are pictures in there and graphs. It's not all just words.
Oh, did you bring a copy?
Of course.
I wonder about that.
Connie is always prepared.
Prepared. So I wanted to talk just a minute about the stuff I read on the first six pages, which was from John Morrow, about the new process. And he's talked about it on the show before, that rather than wait, I don't remember how it worked before, but there was some waiting, and we're trying to start earlier with setting priorities before we set the budget, right?
Yes.
Rather than set the budget and then set priorities.
Exactly.
So we start that, I think, with a council retreat in January, in July?
Actually, staff starts a little before us because the managers, I'm going to let you explain that. And then July is John's date, and we've done it 2 years now.
Ah, okay.
It might be three. I missed one for a family emergency, so I'm a little hazy on it.
I remember that.
But it's July, and that's when council gets involved. And then from then, it's every month, boom, working on it to actually get the it has to be a public hearing in December, two reads, and a vote, and then we all get to celebrate the holidays, whatever holiday
but
we
it's
celebrate.
But it's really at least a six-month process to set the priorities and then make the budget align with the priorities.
At the public level it is, but staff starts earlier.
Is there public input into that?
Through council. And our meetings are always open. The retreat's open.
Good to know.
You have more than four electeds at a meeting, and it's an open meeting.
It's an open meeting, yeah. You know, I'm having one of those moments on the air where I forget my own name. But I do...
I wonder why.
Is it because I'm looking at you? I'll look at Connie.
Yeah, look at Connie. Forget about me over here.
For anybody just joining us, you're listening to Bureaucracy Now, and I'm talking with Connie Anderson, who is the Director of Finance and Technology, and with Monica McHager, who is a Port Townsend City Council person and my girlfriend. and we can also take questions here if you wish to email dj@kptz.org. I will watch those, and if any of them pop up, if you have questions for Connie, probably not for me, but for Connie or Monica, this would be a good time to ask for budgeting-related questions.
Absolutely.
Do you want to elaborate more on John's bullet points there? I thought they were interesting.
Yeah, so it's really a new philosophy, creating the better process, better collaboration. So it's working with council and working with the community to create a budget that actually meets the needs of the community. So behind the scenes, department directors are working with their staff to create the operational needs and budgets. But then there's the bigger picture. It's like, where do we want to go long term? What's the strategy behind what direction we need to go? So it's starting to think about those things. And so John works with all of the directors, and we start working on our work plan. So our work plan is really a strategic plan in and of itself, talking about what things are we going to meet next year, how are we going to get the work done, and what are we seeing as priorities that need to take place other than getting the operations done, or what's holding us up.
And this must be particularly important with things which maybe have multi-year components where you need to work this year, next year, and the year after to accomplish something.
Yeah. So we work on that on the back end with John and the directors. Kind of that's the beginning of that sausage making, if you want to call it.
I know that's what he calls it.
Yeah, it is. It truly is sausage making. Yeah. So then we come up with that list. It's really a long list, and actually it's pretty ambitious, trying to think of all the things that need to get done and how we're going to do it. And then we prepare for the retreat, and we bring that to the counselors in our public retreat. This last year it was in July. We find a date that works for everybody to be in attendance. And then we kind of work through what's all on that list and what our priorities are. And actually, this last summer, we did a great exercise on one of them where we actually got up and put dots on priorities and sticky notes on. Yep. That was
one affordable. Was housing, and I don't affordable housing, but I don't. We did two, but I can't remember which was the second one. But it was fun to be with staff in a public meeting, and there's public comment and everything at our retreat. But we got to talk and write on stickies and put things up and have conversations where our meetings were in chambers, and they're a little more official, though I think we're all pretty comfortable there. So the retreat is all day, so it's really great to get to work with staff much closer.
I want to just elaborate a moment on the stickies and the dots, because for anybody who doesn't speak fluent corporate, they maybe haven't seen that methodology before. But it's a really interesting way, in my experience, of getting a group to start thinking about priorities and being able to say this is important to me, but this is more important to me, and then look at the dots when you're done and say, well, which one of these collected a lot of dots and which one collected, I assume you have a color scheme, so some dots are hotter than other dots, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And the sticky notes, you know, they collect people's thoughts and ideas. So, you know, when you're in a group setting and there's a lot of people there, you end up sometimes with just a few voices who actually speak and say what they're thinking and is on their mind. When you make everybody have to write down what those thoughts are, and then they're putting them on a small 3x3 sticky, you collect everybody's
thoughts.
You
collect information you might not otherwise collect.
Right, and then you have something to work from that is a full platform of everybody's ideas and thoughts underneath each of the different topics. So everybody's voice is heard. So it's actually a really good process to collect that information and make sure that you're not missing things. So anyway.
Well, good.
So then just real quickly, after July, staff goes back, and now they've had input from council, and they keep working it and working it. And about September, we're starting to have a product, not finished, but a product, because each department is what we call funds. So if you look in the budget, it has its own page, and it's starting to be flushed out with the cost for our operations, what might be added. I mean, we don't have much money left over every year, but where's that going to be spent? Connie's in charge of all of us. So she's the one that's like, well, that piggy bank doesn't have that money in it for this.
Actually, as long as we're on the subject of piggy banks, when Connie asked ahead of this meeting what I was thinking I was going to ask, and Councillor Wenstrom, when she was on Libby said that she felt there was a lot of misinformation around the area of buckets. And I know buckets is something that means something to City Council. It may not mean something to all of the listeners, but let's talk a little bit about what City Council means when they talk about buckets and what that means in terms of how we can spend money.
Yeah, so buckets of money are the various funds that actually are prescribed by the State Auditor's Office on how we have to account for all the money that comes into
Is money from different sources,
right? So there's money that comes from lots of different places. You have general dollars that come in, which are related to property taxes and sales taxes, different taxes and so on. And then there's restricted money, and some of those are sales tax dollars, like affordable housing and lodging tax dollars. Mm-hmm. Those have very specific purpose, and we can only spend those monies for that specific purpose. Real estate excise tax is another one. When homes sell within city limits, the city government actually gets a small tax on each sale. And those can only be used for capital projects. So those can only be used for like building a new city facility. They can be used on street projects, but very, very specific prescribed state law on what we can spend those dollars on. And then there's also utility funds. Our water, sewer, and stormwater each have their own utility fund, and they're responsible for the revenues that are received off of the rates that people pay for those utilities. Those all have to pay for the operational costs to run that utility and the capital expenses that go along with it. So those are the buckets. You have utility buckets, you have general government buckets, and then you have restricted funds that are preserved for a specific purpose. And you can only, those funds can only be used for those things. They can't be intermixed in any way.
So it really, the putting the budget together is an exercise in saying, well, these are the things we want to do. These are the buckets we have. Where do we put the money for these things? And because it's pretty complex, isn't it?
It can be pretty complex. But, you know, if you think about them individually instead of combined, then it becomes a lot easier. If you think about your own household account and you have a savings account, like let's say you're planning a big vacation.
Yeah.
So you're slowly putting that money off into that savings account. But you know you're going to need plane tickets and hotel rooms and a rental car. Pretty soon you can start seeing exactly how much is in that savings account. Well, that's kind of the same idea.
Yeah.
It's separated from your checking operational account.
I was just going to say it wouldn't make sense for me to say, well, you know, I really want to take this trip this year. Maybe I'll just take it out of the money I've set aside to pay my property tax because, hey, that's not due until May.
Actually, it's April.
Is it April? Yeah, but not good for traveling on that money.
Okay. No.
You know, time flies, and I want to get to my last question because I know this is important. The city over the years borrows money to do things, and I know borrowing money kind of takes two forms. One form is bond issues that are associated with tax revenue, specifically voted on by people, and the money we pay to pay off whatever loan we have comes from revenue, which is earmarked for that. But we have a lot of loans out there that don't have revenue associated with them. In other words, the city has some. Would you call that unfunded debt? What would you call that?
Well, so debt. The utility companies can, the utility funds can have their own debt, and they're responsible for that debt based on revenues that they earn through the rates for the water, sewer, and stormwater.
So this would be for, paying off the treatment, the sewage treatment facility.
Exactly.
Is paid for by utility taxes.
Right, or any of the sewer lines and the water lines. So we had that big sewer break.
Right.
So that's all paid for out of those utility funds and paid for with the rates that are paid for by customers for the water and sewer. Monthly. Then there is the debt that is, it's called limited general obligation debt, mm-hmm. and it's paid for through general revenues received for the city. Mm-hmm. And so those revenues are your sales tax, property tax. They can include things like real estate excise tax if it's for capital works that need to be done. So all of those revenues are what would pay for a general obligation debt. Our city policy says that we have to be within 15% of those revenues. We actually have policy that tells us that.
Now, I'm not quite sure 15%
of the revenues, of the general revenues.
15% of the general revenues.
Can we
spend as much as 15%?
Correct.
To pay off debt.
So our annual debt payments.
And that's of the general revenue. That doesn't include these other buckets.
Exactly.
Okay. And are we spending 15%?
Actually, we're more like 8 to 9%.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So 8 to 9%.
Let the record show. Monica smiled at that. Mm-hmm. Why are you smiling at that?
Because I think that's very fiscally sound. And I've lived here, as you know, 38 years, and I can't say that past city staff and city council, they have been a little more, they've bumped that number up a little bit.
And because every dollar we spend out of that is a dollar we're not spending on services.
Right. It's like
eating vanilla wafers. Mm-hmm. The first few get stuck in your braces.
Mm-hmm. And it takes us a while to pay it off, and so we're down.
8% is a good number in your
view. It's a very safe number for us to be at.
And with 8%, are we making progress? Is there a light at the end of the tunnel on this?
Well, the current general obligation debt that we have on the books pays in full 2035 at this point. So we've mm-hmm. got a few years to go there. But we're starting to look at short-term. We were paying off a couple of bonds here in the next couple of months. City Council approved for that to happen with this last budget. Working with bond council now to get those numbers together and paid off.
So these are bonds that where they came due, but we actually have some money and we can pay them off without refinancing them.
That's correct. So we've acquired with the last couple of years and the additional federal dollars that have come our direction, we've been able to build our reserve balances up a little bit. And so using that savings account, if you will, we're mm-hmm. going to take a couple of bonds that are close to maturity. Mm-hmm. They're in what's called a callable mm-hmm. Stage mm-hmm. where they can be called and we can pay them in full. There's not a lot of years left on them, but it gives us about 3 years before the payments go back up a little bit. So we have some work to do in the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. But it gave us 3 years. It is paying off some debt.
Which is freeing up money to be now spent. Right.
Really, really nice to see that this isn't new for our city, but it's new in my focus on a few years before I ran, and then now being on city council, in that the debt was increasing all the time mm-hmm. with new projects that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. So the total kept going up. So it's really nice to see us actually this year go in the opposite direction. And we hold for 3 years, which is really wonderful for all of the department managers, because we don't know what the future will bring, and that is going to give us time.
This also by there's some because in case there's an emergency and you needed to borrow something for, like, I don't know, a sewer line that goes bad.
This is why the community gets confused on buckets because we couldn't.
I know, but bad things happen. That was just the bad thing that's happened recently.
We're talking about the general fund,
right?
Which is a whole different set of buckets. I hope this helps the community. I don't know if it does, but I know Libby's trying real hard. Most council members do. Took us a while to figure out buckets. Mm-hmm. So when someone says, I don't know why, you know, why are you spending the money on X, fix our potholes, it's a long explanation on why we can't do that.
All right. I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Libby, which is we're kind of running out of time, and we haven't gotten any questions, but I'm going to ask you both the same question, but I'll start with Monica. Is there anything specific that you would, you know, related to this topic that you would like people to know?
Well, I'd like to say that people ought to at least go look at our budget, our 2023 budget, and turn pages you don't want to read and look for things you want. There are graphs that there'll be two or three pages of words, and then there's a beautiful pie that explains it all. Same thing in a different way, because we all learn differently. Mm-hmm. There's pictures to go with all the capital projects we've chosen, we could finance, so we've chosen, we're going to try to do this year. Mm-hmm. So I always reach out to people and say, if you don't like to read this stuff, we try to say it in different ways and give you pictures and to really look at it, because it might help you understand about buckets.
It's a 99-page document, but you're saying, hey, if nothing else, take a scan.
Just pour a glass of wine. Take a scan. Shuffle through them quick on the computer.
Oh, yeah. Pretty pictures.
There it is. Pretty pictures are in there. Connie's got hers in paper copy. Yeah. The only other thing I want to say is I am just delighted to be a council member right now. We have an amazing staff John Morrow has put together. Mm-hmm. It's a delight to work with Connie. It's an essential part of who we have shepherding our money. It's all tax revenue money. It's out of all of our pockets. And I'm actually excited every time we have a meeting with Connie and what she's doing. I feel very confident in her secure hands with our city revenues.
Wow. High praise.
High praise.
Very high praise.
I thank you kindly, Council Member.
Pressure's on.
So I actually want to switch this just a little bit.
You betcha.
My last couple minutes here. So we do have one key project that actually is going on, and it actually is a collaborative project amongst many things that I know you have already been talking about on this show. So it's the Financial Sustainability Task Force project.
So
on the Engage PT portion of our website, there's a lot of explanation behind there on what we're doing. We have a small task force that's looking long term. It's like, okay, so we've talked about the budget, we've talked about a few components, but we've also got these big things going on, comprehensive streets and the wellness and the parks. We have all of these big projects, and we have lots of things that we want for our community. And how do we make that work? How does that happen with limited resources, right? Mm-hmm. What are our real priorities? So there's discussions going on in the community right now about all of those things. But then it's, how are we going to pay for that? And then how are we going to do it? So there's a task force working on that. It's going to be coming out to the community.
For community input?
For community input in the next couple of months. We're working on the back end of that. Information is on the website on what kind of things we're working on to bring that forward.
Connie, good answer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
I forgot the financial sustainability task force.
And
they
meet
monthly.
When John tunes in, you know, because we put this up on the web, if people, when John tunes in, he will be pleased.
Yes, he's going to be really happy that Connie remembered to talk about that.
Yeah.
So we're really looking for community input and wanting community to understand that we're looking at the full picture. Mm-hmm. So as we've been talking about budget and what we're doing with our operational mm-hmm. budgets, how we're looking at our debt, how we're looking at all the pieces and how this fits together. So it's the whole thing, right? So we're looking at it internally as well as externally and trying to make sure we're meeting community needs and strategic priorities.
Okay.
So
I want to say, this is where I get to say thank you to Connie Anderson, Director of Finance and Technology for the City of Port Townsend, and to Monica McHager, Port Townsend City Councilperson and the Chair of the Finance and Budget Committee. And that's the end of bureaucracy now.